Members, I'm going to call this February 9th, 2021 meeting of the Taxes Committee to order under Rules 10.01. I remind all those who might be watching to get all of the materials for this meeting. The best way to do that is to go to the Minnesota House of Representatives website, go then to committees, go to Taxes Committee, and when you get to that main first page, just go down off to the right, all the materials that all the members here have. And also, members, you have the materials in with your agenda and invite. So with that, we're going to have Ms. Chafley call the roll.
Marquardt?
Present.
Marquardt, present. Liz Lagarde?
Present.
Liz Lagarde, present. Davids?
Davids, present.
Davids, present. Egbadje?
Present.
Egbadje, present. Carlson?
Carlson, present.
Carlson, present. Detmer? Excused. Garofalo? Garofalo? Gomez?
Gomez, present.
Gomez, present. Her?
Her, present.
Her, present. Hertas?
Hertas, present.
Hertas, present. Howard?
Present.
Howard, present. McDonald?
McDonald, present.
McDonald, present. Miller? Excused. Moran?
Present.
Moran, present. Mortensen?
Present.
Mortensen, present. Robbins?
Present.
Robbins, present. Sandel?
Present.
Sandel, present. Schultz?
Present.
Schultz, present. Stevenson?
Present.
Stevenson, present. Swidzinski?
Present.
Swidzinski, present. Joachim?
Present.
Joachim, present. Garofalo?
Garofalo, present.
Garofalo, present. Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Ms. Chafley, thank you so much. So we have a quorum, and with that, Representative Les Lagarde, are you ready to approve the, make a motion, the approve the February 4th, 2021 minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Les Lagarde moves approval of the February 4th, 2021 minutes. Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, hearing none, I'm going to ask members to temporarily unmute as I call for the vote. All those in favor of approving the February 4th, 2021 minutes of the Taxes Committee, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, please say nay. The motion does prevail. Those minutes, February 4th, 2021, the Taxes Committee is approved. So members, we have three bills to go over today. And the first bill is Representative Hewitt, House File 474, and I see he is here. Would someone care to move that, to lay that over for possible inclusion into a tax omnibus bill? Anyone care to make that motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll move that House File 474 be moved before a committee for possible, to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Representative Joachim. House File 474's been moved to be laid over for possible inclusion into an omnibus tax bill. Representative Hewitt, welcome to the committee. Tell us what House File 474 does for us.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the Tax Committee. It's so great to be back in front of you again. This is pretty much a simple, straightforward bill. All of us that have to do fundraising for our children have empathy, hopefully, on this bill. This is House File 474, and basically what it does is exempt sales tax from our school fundraising groups. and basically allows the district to actually deposit this money, which we required them to do back in 2019. So it's pretty much straight, simple forward. I'll take questions.
Any questions for Representative Hewitt? Representative Mortensen.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Hewitt, I was curious, why did you put a cap or limit it to the first $20,000 in gross revenue?
Representative Hewitt.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mortensen, I would have to ask the school districts, are they here today? That was done by the districts.
Yes, I'm representing MASBO and MSBA.
Okay, very good. Ms. Furyk.
Hello, my name is Tracy Furyk. I'm representing MASBO and MSBA. The $20,000 cap was actually restoring old language that we had prior to making some changes to that bill in the 2019 session, I believe. There was some GASB statements that were issued that required districts to take those student activity accounts and move them under the general fund of the district. At that point in time, the $20,000 per activity was perfectly fine because we weren't fundraising much more than $20,000 per activity. But once those funds got moved into the general education fund, then it became a $20,000 limit per district. So we are asking that that language revert to the old language that was $20,000 per activity or fundraiser.
Thank you. Representative Mortensen, any further follow-up on that?
No, that answers my question. Thanks.
Very good. Thank you so much. And I do want to remind members that Representative Kreisha is also carrying this bill this year. Last year, Representative Sandstead and Representative Hewitt carried the bill last year. And this came from 2019, and a lesson to be learned by everyone. It was when the Education Finance Committee tried to do tax policy. And so we are trying to clean that up. And we actually had this in the House bill last year, but we just didn't get it across the finish line. So Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. See, Mr. Chair, either you or maybe Ms. Templin could answer my question regarding the bill that I had several years ago that was exempted 501c3s and 501c4s for fundraising for having to pay sales tax. Is this bill that Representative Hewitt has similar to that? And if so, how come the bill that I did author and you supported and it did pass and became law, doesn't that apply to the school's fundraising abilities as well?
I'm going to ask Ms. Templin or Ms. Hagler on that one. Anyone? Ms. Templin.
Mr. Chair, Cynthia Templin, House Fiscal Staff. Representative McDonald, to your question, I would have to look back at the provision that or the proposal that you brought forward, and it's something I need to check on and get back to you. But there is a current exemption for nonprofits that is currently in state law that applies to the first $20,000 is exempted of gross receipts from fundraising, and that applies to for youth under 18 and to seniors, and that is under current law. And this proposal for this bill is just restoring the K-12 fundraising piece of this.
So, Ms. Templin or Ms. Hagler, so Representative McDonald's bill wouldn't kind of blanket this or cover these situations? It must not.
Mr. Chair, I would like to research that to provide an answer, you know, with more precision.
Okay.
And get back to you. Thank
that
you.
That sounds good. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Ms. Chair, Ms. Templin. I suppose, is Pat Dalton, is Ms. Dalton still there?
Ms. Dalton is not here. She might be watching.
Oh, okay.
She's retired.
Well, no offense to Ms. Dalton, Ms. Dalton was my ace in the hole, if you will. And so if schools are 501c3s or 501c4, the bill that I passed for any fundraising, for example, the Lions Club who sells Christmas trees, or the Girl Scouts who sells Christmas or cookies, and or small towns that sell beer and things at the fireworks and stuff, those were all tax exempt. So I'm surprised that, and maybe it will be the case once we do some investigation, that bill that we passed covers the schools as well. If they are 501c3s or 501c4s, which I can only presume that they are, they would already be covered to having to pay sales tax on the items that they sold. So that could be good news for Representative Hewitt. You won't have to repeat the good work that I did and many others several years ago.
Mr. Chair, may I interject?
You bet. Ms. Farrick, please.
Actually, school districts, K-12 school districts are not 501c3s. Charter schools are, but K-12 districts are not.
Well, thank you very much.
There you go.
Thank you, Representative McDonald, for bringing that forward. And I think we got some clarity on that. Very good.
One last question, Mr. Chair.
Representative McDonald.
Then if they're not 501c3s or 501c4s, what are they classified, just out of curiosity?
I don't know that we necessarily have a designated tax classification other than we're a public school entity.
Okay, and lastly?
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I do photo work for the school, they are tax exempt. I guess no bearing on this particular legislation that Representative Hewitt has, but just a state, they are tax exempt, as far as I know, on some items.
Ms. Farrick, did you want to answer that? I mean, I know, we've passed laws in the past that have exempt like cities and counties and school districts from sales taxes. So.
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McDonald, just to address that question, we are sales tax exempt for various things. Where it really got messy was kind of these fundraising pieces, and it was specifically called out in law with fundraising that we couldn't, essentially you had limits on how much you could fundraise and still have sales tax exemption or be exempt from paying sales tax.
Anything further, Representative McDonald?
No, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So, Ms. Farrick, you were the only one who indicated they wanted to testify. So do you have anything more to add?
I certainly do, and thank you for the opportunity. This is really, like you had mentioned before, some unintended consequences of some work that the advisory committee did, financial committee at MDE, and really it stems from some regulations that came down from GASB, the Government Accounting Standards Board. And it really said that, at one time we were allowed to have essentially external entities or external programs, external activities running somewhat concurrent with the district, but not necessarily in the district books. And once the GASB standards came out and said, hey, you need to really look at this fiduciary activity and find out what's happening and really bring that into the general fund, this is really where that became, that law that was in place really became kind of a stickler for us. My district that I represent, Sauk Rapids Rice, we have 4,300 kids. We offer over 100 different extracurricular clubs, activities for student enrichment, and managing kind of that, really that fundraising that each of those clubs do is really somewhat, unnecessary burden on our business office. So it becomes quite a bit of work to manage that. In a lot of cases, we look at the opportunities for fundraisers and say, nope, we got to collect sales tax on that one. We're going to do something different. So it'd really be nice to have some of that freedom back to allow those particular clubs to pick the fundraisers that work best for them.
Thank you very much. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank Representative Hewitt and others who've worked on this legislation. And I have a question for the testifier, Ms. Furick. What are school districts also raising funds for supplies for the schools? And would those be included in this bill?
Eric?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson and Representative Schultz. That's a great question, and I think some schools probably are fundraising, not necessarily specifically for supplies, but they may be fundraising for a particular school initiative, which may include some supplies. But in most cases, those supplies are really coming out of the general fund of the school district. A lot of cases where this fundraising is happening is really for if we're going to do a class trip to, you know, our Spanish program does a trip to Costa Rica. They do some major fundraising to help offset the cost for those students that are taking those trips. In a lot of cases, we don't see a lot of fundraising that gets done for really supplies that need to be provided to those kids during for education purposes.
Thank you, Ms.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to note that, you know, a lot of schools are doing fundraising to cover expenses that really should be covered by the state. And so I think there's a lot we can do to help our school districts, but again, I want to thank Representative Hewitt for bringing this bill forward.
Thank you. Any other members' questions? I don't see anyone's hand raised. Ms. Ferrick, thank you for your testimony. Representative Hewitt, closing comments.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Tax Committee. I love coming before this committee because you're also smart, and you definitely get me thinking as I go away. And Representative Schultz, you're right. We need to make sure our schools are fully funded. So with that, Representative Marquardt, I thank you for laying it over.
And Representative Hewitt, you are exactly right. Every member of the Tax Committee is above average. Absolutely. Representative Joaquin renews her motion to lay over for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill, House File 474. Thank you, Representative Hewitt. Next on the agenda is Representative Joaquin, House File 376. Representative, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move my bill to lay over for a possible inclusion of the tax bill.
Thank you very much. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for hearing House File 376. Some of you may find it familiar. This bill is pretty simple. It requires the Commissioner of Revenue to prepare a report on what it would take to provide a way for Minnesotans to file their Minnesota state income taxes online for free. The Department of Revenue would prepare a report that would include what the process would cost, including a vendor capability, security, and accessibility. Currently, Minnesotans can use certain tax preparation products to file online only for free if they meet certain income criteria. This report would take a look at what it would cost the state of Minnesota to either enter into public-private partnerships with those same vendors or some other type of arrangement so that all Minnesotans could be provided with the same service. We ask Minnesotans to pay taxes, and I would like to make that process just a little bit simpler. Monetary resources are required to file and pay income taxes online using an intuitive software program that helps you walk through the process. Since the majority of Minnesotans are filing their taxes electronically, I've had constituents contact me to ask why there aren't more free resources available for them to do that to help them walk through the process and make it easier and quicker and leave less room for error. It also provides for easier audits and increased security for filers by keeping the federal and state forms linked electronically if they do it online. The bill appropriates $175,000 to fulfill this task and requires a report by January 15th of 2022. This is a project I embarked on a few years ago with former Department of Revenue Assistant Commissioner Terry Steenblack. She's since retired. But I wanted to carry it on, and it is a simple bill, like I said, requiring a simple report that could make a lot of Minnesotans' lives easier. I believe you have an Eric Bernstein from We Make Minnesota signed up to testify as well.
Thank you very much, Representative Joaquin. We do have one testifier, Mr. Bernstein, and we did have one letter that also came in that commented on this bill. So members, you might want to look at that. And very quickly, before we go any further, I mean, one thing in the tax committee we should be always talking about is the revenue estimate. And we didn't talk about that on House File 474, the Hewitt bill. And basically for that, this biennium, the cost would be about $1.39 million. So just an idea. And into the next, into the tails, it would be about $1.49 million. And Representative Joachim, I see you've got a cost of about $175,000, and a fiscal note indicates the FTE addition in that first year would be 1.77 FTE. So those are also in your materials, but for people listening, just wanted to say that. So at this time, Mr. Bernstein, if you would like to identify yourself, and welcome so much to the committee. Mr. Bernstein, you're muted. We're not hearing you.
Nothing, you can't hear me?
We can now. Very good. Please begin. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Chairman Marquardt, members of the committee, my name is Eric Bernstein. I'm the policy director at We Make Minnesota. I'm pleased to be here to share my support for House File 376, which will provide funds and direction for a study of how best to make free income tax filing software available to all Minnesota taxpayers. As we each undoubtedly know from personal experience, filing annual taxes can be a frustrating and time-consuming process, even after you find that misplaced W-2. This bill would seek an end to at least some of our widely shared frustration by exploring the possibility of a publicly funded electronic filing option. Currently, to avoid complex forms and the necessity of physical mail, over 90% of Minnesota filers complete their taxes online, many of them using private sector tools like TurboTax. These commercial products are convenient and user-friendly, but unfortunately charge fees ranging from $50 to several hundred dollars, which are usually subtracted from refunds owed to the taxpayer. Some of these private sector filing platforms offer free filing options to taxpayers below certain income thresholds, but the most recent IRS data reveals that roughly half of filers earning below the U.S. median wage still pay to file their taxes. On top of regular filing fees, private filing services also offer taxpayers the option of receiving their refunds upfront rather than waiting for the IRS to process their return and remit payment for an additional surcharge. These costlier refund anticipation checks result in smaller tax refunds and are more common among lower income earners. In 2018, for example, more than 70% of Minnesota returns receiving a refund anticipation check were from filers less than $50,000 of gross income. Filing fees and surcharges are equivalent to an additional tax burden that should instead be borne by the state. In addition to easing frustration and ensuring that Minnesota taxpayers receive the full refunds to which they are entitled, a major benefit of a free filing system would be more accurate returns and a reduction in fraudulent filing. One other potential benefit would be improved take-up of the Federal Earned Income Tax Credit, or EITC. This would put more tax dollars back in the pockets of Minnesota's low-income workers, not only improving their quality of life, but also bringing federal dollars into our state, where they can be used at Minnesota's businesses to the benefits of our communities. All Minnesotans should have a right to free and easy filing, and while members of this committee may remain divided on the monetary cost of Minnesota's taxes, reducing the time and hassle that filing taxes requires is something everyone can agree on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So any questions for Mr. Bernstein or the author of the bill, Representative Joachim? Representative Abaje.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Joachim and the testifiers. Does this bill address, because I know it's addressing to publicize more the areas where Minnesotans can free file their taxes, both state and federal, but does this also cover, I know many of these companies, they may offer free filing for state, but then if you have to itemize it or if there's something else, then there's a fee. So does this cover, would this try to get at that idea that all of state filing should be free through these companies?
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Akache. It actually
would look at that in the report. It would look at all those different aspects of what is out there, what is available to taxpayers, whether or not it would be worth it for our state to look at doing a request for proposal with some of these providers so that we could make sure it really is truly free for all. The report would look at all of that stuff.
Representative Abaje, anything further?
No follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Anyone else? Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Joachim, does your bill, would it compete with some of the online tax services that offer already some free tax services? And they also receive some assistance financially that we have here in the state that already pays for state some state tax dollars to some of these institutions that offer this. So would it compete with that? And if so, what's your thoughts on that?
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative McDonald. Actually, it doesn't really address the VITA sites that I think you're talking about that are funded. What it would really do is just to do a report to see how we could make sure that folks are able to utilize these resources. My goal would be to have, once the report comes back, to look at it and see if there's a way we could do a public-private partnership with a lot of the different vendors that are out there. By no means would I really want our state to become a vendor. We would want to be doing a public-private partnership with vendors out there to see how we could facilitate having something easier for our taxpayers to utilize. So this is just a report to see what's available and to see how we could possibly, what other states are doing, and to see what we could do to make sure that Minnesotans file their taxes in the easiest way possible.
Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chair, yes, thank you, Representative Joachim. I kind of misspoke. I meant to suggest the study. Do you know then what appropriations we had in the last biennium for a tax preparation for those who are needing some help? I don't know the number offhand, but I do know we spend a sizable amount of money that offer free tax filings for those who need it.
Yes, Representative McDonald, I think you're talking about those VITA sites, I think. Is that right? And Ms. Templin, would you be able to have what we spent on that last time?
Mr. Chair, that is an account on an expenditure account in the State Government Committee. I can get that information and send that to the committee.
So, Mr. Jensen is put in, he thinks it was about, he's got $200,000 per year that was in the 2019, when they came before us in 2019, it was about $200,000 per year. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Jensen. I think that's a good to know, especially with your bill, Representative Joachim, that does cost $175,000, so that's almost close to what it costs to prepare taxes. But you know, if your bill, I'm a little hesitant with the 1.7 FTEs, but if we find out that we could save the state some money and some tax dollars money and do a private partnership and make things more efficient, I think that it's worth it, but definitely want to look into it a little bit more detail with that fiscal note. But thank you, Representative Joachim.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Representative McDonald, and I need to probably clarify two things. The FTE is 1.77, so I presume that would be one time for the study, you know, not ongoing. And the $200,000 on the VITA sites was an increase. So I don't know what they were getting before, but it was a $200,000 increase. So I wanted to clarify that. Thank you for those questions, Representative McDonald. Anyone else? All right, Mr. Bernstein, thank you so much for your testimony. Representative Joachim, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. We ask Minnesotans to file tax returns with us every year. This report could help us figure out a way to make it just a little more secure and easy for them to perform that task. I hope to have your support, and thank you for hearing the bill.
Thank you very much. Ms. Templin.
Mr. Chair, I did get the information on the VITA appropriation, and it is $600,000 a year.
Very good. Thank you. Very good. All right, Representative Joachim, do you want to renew your motion then?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I renew my motion.
Representative Joachim moves to lay over for possible inclusion in the House Tax Omnibus Bill, House File 376. Thank you very much. Next on the agenda, and before we get to the final item, I just want to talk a little bit about next week because we'll adjourn right after this next bill. But on Thursday, we're going to hear seven bills dealing with public safety facilities and the sales tax exemption on construction and supplies. So we've heard these before. There's going to be seven of them. So I just would like to inform authors coming up and so forth. We're going to have about 10 minutes per bill. And that's, I'm going to stick as close as I can to that with seven bills, 10 minutes per bill. Then next Tuesday, there will be a bill that I will author on conformity. Basically, what it will do is take almost all of the items that we discussed last week on tax conformity and put them into a bill. And I will say that, you know, that's going to change depending on what our target and the whole works. But this will be a bill that will kind of have everything in it. Now, I've asked all the members on the DFL side, on the Republican side, to think about what your priorities would be on those conformity items, regardless of cost right now. But just think about the other day when we looked at all those various areas, there was charitable contributions, there was mortgage indebtedness and so forth. What would be the Paycheck Protection Program? What would be your priorities? So that's what we would like, and then we'll go from there. So next Tuesday's bill is just kind of everything there. It's a bill that we will be able to work on as we move towards the tax omnibus bill. And then next Thursday, we're looking at hopefully then doing the governor's tax bill. We'll have the language there, and I would present that. So with that, next up on the agenda is, and so there is no meeting tomorrow. No meeting tomorrow, and no meeting scheduled right now for next Wednesday either. So I'd like to move House File 46, be laid over for possible inclusion into the House Tax Omnibus Bill. And so, you know, one of the major goals this year is to increase accountability and transparency for taxpayers. And House File 46 basically is a very simple concept. So when you go to the grocery store or you go to the hardware store or wherever you go, after you pay, you get a receipt back. And that receipt will tell you, you know, how much you paid, but also what you bought. And that's basically what the intent of this bill is, to be able to say, where do your tax dollars go? And then one more step beyond what you get from a receipt at a store is then what type of value are you getting for those tax dollars? So, you know, every resident should know that when they spend a dollar in their taxes, that their state is getting safer, stronger, healthier, and better educated. And so how do we know that? And so this would set up a system where the Department of Revenue, first of all, would offer to all taxpayers this option to be able to go to a website. That would be through the Department of Revenue communications and those filing income taxes and so forth. It then would be up to the Office of Minnesota Management and Budget that then would put together an interactive website, if you will, that would be able to determine the amount that you paid roughly in the five main taxes. Income tax, sales tax, alcohol tax, cigarette tax, and motor fuel tax. And so on the income tax, you would have that one, you know, right off your income taxes. And the other ones, they would, MMB would have to come up with kind of a system based on your income that roughly determine how much you spend on sales tax, and maybe there could be something on there. Did you buy anything that was taxable that was like over $1,000 that, you know, would take it out of the ordinary or whatever that might be? And then you could also check a box as to whether or not you drink or you smoke. If you wanted to do that, that would indicate maybe what averages in there. And then also how many miles you travel in a year. This is all voluntary, remember. So they would then be able to calculate roughly how much you're paid in taxes. And then they also need to determine what percent of our general fund budget or in transportation goes for education, healthcare, public safety, property tax, all those different type of programs, and then would take that amount. So let's say you've got $3,000. It then would distribute on this receipt. This much went to education. This much went to nursing homes. This much went to public safety. This much went to our roads and so forth. And then it goes one step further. It also requires MMB to determine some sort of performance and outcome goal. So we'd be able to tell, are things getting better or worse in various outcomes? And in chapter 16A.10, the Minnesota Management Budget, in that state law, when agencies are doing their budget preparation, they have to do this performance and outcome. So the bill relates to that process. So that's where they can come up with this outcomes and so forth. So hopefully what this does is gives the taxpayer more information on where their dollars are going. You know, people pay taxes a lot of times, and, you know, certainly when they go to the pump and they pay the fuel tax, they know where that, and cigarettes, I suppose they know. Well, no, they don't necessarily know where that's going, or income, or, you know, sales tax. They don't, they buy a certain product and what, but they don't actually know where those dollars are going. And I've always, and you'll see a bill in property taxes on Wednesday, where I just think, the more transparent we can make things and the more information we can give to the taxpayer, the more likely, not only are they going to have some information, but they're more likely to get involved and take more of an interest on where those tax dollars go, how much is being spent, and where is it going. So that's the premise of the bill. And so the cost in that, on the fiscal note, in the first year, it would increase FTEs by 1.18, and then ongoing, it would be an FTE increase, and this is between MMB and the Department of Revenue, of 0.59 of FTE. And the costs are between MMB and the Department of Revenue in the first biennium, or this next one, $174,000, and then $110,000 into the next one. So that's the bill. I don't know of any testifiers for or against. Mr. Chair, I will take questions at this point.
Any questions for Chair Marquardt? Representative Mortensen.
Mr. Chair, on my screen, I have Representative Davids, I think, with a hand raised.
Okay. Representative Chair Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I kind of missed something here. Is this the chair's bill?
This is... Mr. Chair and Chair Davids, yeah, this is the chair's bill of the year, my taxpayer receipt bill, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to Mr. Chair, since that's been cleared up, I certainly have no questions, and I'm sure it's a very fine piece of legislation.
Any other questions for the chair? Seeing none, I don't believe that we have any public testimony or letters. So, Chair Marquardt, any closing remarks before you move your bill?
Nope, it's just another effort to increase taxpayer accountability or accountability to the taxpayer and more transparency to the taxpayer. So appreciate the committee's support.
Okay, so Chair Marquardt renews his motion that House File 46 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. That finishes our agenda. Is there anything else for the good of the order? Seeing none, meeting adjourned.